Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, welcome to Life Lab.
Hello.
I'm not so sure how today's episode's going to go. I've got an idea in my head about how it's going to go. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I try to not envision too much how it's going to go and just dive into my notes and then let it go where it's going to go.
Yeah, that's probably the smarter way to go about it. And we'll talk a little bit about why, because today we're going to talk about expectations.
Oh, man. Last week we talked about truth, big topic. Neither one of us were like super geeked when we first saw it, but I thought it ended up being a good conversation because it's a huge concept. Whereas when I saw this one this morning, I was excited because this is something I actively think about and try to deal with and manage on a daily basis.
You have tactics to manage this.
I have tactics and strategy.
Okay, tell me about the strategy. I know some of your tactics.
Well, yeah, strategy is more important than tactics because strategy defines your direction. If you constantly focus on the tools to get something done, you're just treading water, in my opinion. You got to know what direction you're swimming, and that's what a strategy gives you. It gives you the yeses and nos for a framework to win. And what I'm trying to win with expectations is owning my time. Expectations is all about time, whether you should be focusing on the present and the immediate reality. If not, the expectation is all future. You're thinking about the future, planning for the future. So the strategy that I have is give enough to the future to give me confidence and competence that my decisions will be correct, and then move on and focus back in the present on whatever it is directly in front of me that I need to be working on. I think people spend too much time and get a fixed mindset on one outcome or path. And then obviously, as you said, that there's letdown around that when it doesn't occur, or it doesn't occur as you wanted it to. There's a quote, it's like we basically make ourselves miserable in the present, worrying about desires for the future that we haven't fulfilled.
That's true. I'll even add something to it, and dwelling in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Dwelling on past disappointments. Yeah.
Again, time-focused. It's all time. Expectations is time.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way, and I don't have anything in my show preparation notes. But that, it totally makes sense to me, because we as humans have something that animals don't have. It's the imagination machine.
Mm-hmm. Storytelling.
So we can envision a world that doesn't exist yet, or maybe ever, right?
Yeah.
And so then we try to manifest, we try to create, we try to control, we try to, okay, I've imagined this world. I've imagined what I want, my desires, my, and now I have to work to make that world a reality.
Yeah. Or you make it a reality, and then it's still a letdown because you don't feel the way you thought you were going to feel.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's this other thing I didn't think about.
Right. You know, or, I mean? Or you get there, you get everything you wanted, right. And then but you thought how you'd feel would be different and better.
Oh, yeah.
And longer-lasting happiness, and you're like, shit,
this is a letdown. That's constant. Mm-hmm. That is constant. Yeah. It's interesting. So that imagination muscle, right? I think that is an important thing in my show notes that was talking about expectations. That was talking about why expectations can be such a problem is because it said, first, merely expecting something to happen won't make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. And it talked about how when you're a child, you have what they call, the psychologist Jean Piaget called magical thinking, where you think that if you think something will happen, it could actually make it happen, right? So, like, you're mad at your sibling, so you, like, envision them falling down the stairs, and that might make it happen, right? And it's funny because Louis C.K. was talking about being mean. And he was like, you know, kids are mean, but they're just like trying it out, you know? And so I can remember as a kid, like, doing the magical thinking thing where I'd be like, oh, I, you know, in my mind, I would imagine something bad happening to make up for some as retribution for something I was angry about. And then sometimes that bad thing would happen. And I'd be like, oh, no, I made that happen with my magical thinking.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I like it. It's accurate. That takes me to a point that runs counter to what I just talked about. And it's how entrepreneurs or folks running large companies, definitely like founder-led, that they created the company, they actually need to think like the magical thinking. The best ones don't think in terms of statistics. They think in terms of calculus. This is it. We're going to do this. There's no other options or paths. Burn the nets kind of thing, especially when crisis is emerging. You can't be like, well, 80% of startups in this field tend to fail. You can't think that way. So your expectation to grow a business, at least, it has to be non-statistically significant and unrealistic, because if not, you wouldn't even get going. You know, yeah. And that's kind of an exception to the rule, if you will, that I just talked about.
Yeah.
But it's that magical thinking. It's just an adult version. I'm gonna will this damn company into existence and keep it going with the people. And
you know, I might add something to that, though, right? Like a good CEO or leader would be like, we're going to grow this or we're going to fail. You know what I mean? They like realize. They're not going to be some delusional person that's like, there's zero chance that we're
going
to fail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't mean – yeah, I meant it's yeah. like – so when you're giving out equity in a startup, it's like, you know, 2% is zero, zero.
Right.
That's
right.
How they talk about that. The expectation is we're going to win. We're going to go forward.
Yeah, that's it. They're like, look, we are going to execute on this strategy and we are going to win or we're going – it's like – it's what was it? Who was it? Tupac? Get Rich or Die Trying? Who's the one who said that?
I think it might have been Biggie.
Okay. So there you go. That's the mindset. That's the mindset you have to have, right? Like,
yeah.
We're either going to do this or we're going to die trying, right? And that's – so that is part of expectations. But I think that's a realistic part of expectations, right? So like I think the magical thinking part is – a little different in that you think you can manifest things. You think that you can set expectations and manifest things by your desires, mm-hmm. right? And then – but here's the thing. As an adult, it's funny because the psychologist said, this ends around age 7. No. Like magical thinking goes on. Adults do plenty of magical thinking. And I'll talk about some different ways. I think it's interesting.
Drugs help us do magical thinking, altering our perceptions. I think because expectations are so scary and we spend so much of our life focusing on the future and, as Dave said, the past as well, instead of just living in the moment to build something or enjoy it, either way. People, I believe, use substances to alter their perceptions because that's a scary thing, man. Like dealing with expectations of how things might actually go versus how you want them to, that's scary. So like, yeah, take a drink or get some caffeine to convince yourself you can take on more because you feel more energized or smoke weed or whatever.
Let's revisit that because I think that's a whole thing in itself. What I want to go back to with the magical thinking thing is how adults do the same shit that kids did. Kids, it's like, oh, I'm going to imagine my sibling falling down the stairs, right? But adults, like, what is this law of attraction stuff? Why is that so popular, right? Like,
tell me what you mean.
The secret, right? What is the secret? If I think it's going to happen, it will, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like adults believing it. There's books about it, whatever. What do you think about prayer?
Well, I want to go back to what you just said because there's two schools of thought on that. Can I think myself into right action or can I act myself into right thoughts? I am squarely in the second camp. I think there's obviously people in both camps for me, and I think both camps work. It depends on who you are and how you're hardwired and how you think about the world. But for me, I can't sit around and contemplate expectations or how I want things to be for too long without taking action because that's who I am. And then as I start taking actions, I do Life Lab. I experiment. I try out different routes. I pivot. And then that changes and alters my thinking about the expectations as I go.
Well, you're doing it right.
And well, I don't want to, that's not what I'm trying to say.
No, here's what I'll say. On either of those, I think there is, either of those, thinking your way into right action or acting your way into right thought, I think either of those are better than the piece that I think some people have, which is expectations without action.
Oh, bam. Yeah, well said. Nice summary.
And that action is the key ingredient that I think is missing in many people's lives. I don't know. Like it's a reason why the life that they're living is more different than the life they wanted to live.
Well, I think we mistake as a society, we confuse being a consumer with being a producer, and producers about action. So we confuse, I'm online reading, I'm watching a show, learning, enjoying things, and then we confuse that with action. Oh, I liked this. That's an action. I sent $10. So that's an action. You know, and that, you know, there is some, you can make arguments for those things, but it's just like, wow, we've moved our bar for what's acceptable action really low in this society, in my opinion.
Well, you're so right. First, this is all over the place.
Yeah, it is, but that's what we do here at Life Lab.
I'm excited because there's all these.
We didn't set our expectations for where the conversation will go.
I had no clue it was going to go here, but what you just said struck a chord with me because what I would say I've learned, it's a lesson I'm always learning over and over again, consuming versus producing, right? Like, I expect my experience to be a certain way when I'm consuming, right? Like,
you like food. I'll give you an example. You enjoy food. So when you have something good, dude, you're so funny because you'll romanticize it. And then you want to pull people in. You're like, you'll take a bite and I know what you're going to say. You'll be like, this might be the best burger I've ever eaten. You know what I'm talking about. He'll say it all the time. And then he'll, because he's a persuader person, he's a very argumentative in a positive. So then he will set that burger down and he will talk to people, be like, nah, I know I've said it, but here are the reasons why this is the best one.
It's funny. Lauren's sister, Meredith, she says that's what she likes that. She
oh, I like quality. It too. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I think I've lost a little bit of that lately. I want to get it back. I think
we got to have more dinners together.
I think it's a good, I think
it's a great quality. Oh, yeah. It's funny.
It's interesting because in my notes, there's talk about food, but I want to come back to it because you struck a new chord with me. It's something that I didn't think about, which was how I've learned and I'm continuously learning. And it's a lesson that is a fleeting lesson to me. I got to hold on to this one, which is I'm continuously surprised. My expectations are exceeded every time I help someone. Every time I do something, every time I produce, my expectations are often exceeded, and just the opposite when I consume, right?
Yeah, man. It's something I read recently in some daily literature. It said, to be able to receive, you must first be willing to give. And the more you give, the more you're open to receiving or setting yourself up to receiving. And I think it's tied into exactly what you're talking about there.
Yeah, it totally is.
But you mentioned one other thing, though. The word, what was the word you used? God damn it, I forget. But expectation, management of expectations, thinking about, you know, the future and trying to prepare for it to some degree is really what expectations is about. It's a process. It's not an event. It's not just, oh, I set my expectations for the day, go. As a management consultant, the most successful teams, not even companies, but teams, people that have to work together a lot, they're constantly managing and resetting expectations as the environment changes, as their technology changes, as their goals change. They have concrete, candid conversations about it. Because if not, we all on the same page. Yep, cool. And no one is. And no one wants to talk about it because they don't want to feel stupid or look dumb for not knowing something. So to me, the most effective communicators are often resetting expectations, confirming that people are in agreement or understand each other, even if they don't agree. I just thought that was important.
No, that's very important, and it's true. What about – so an effective leader will do that. An effective – not even – you know, leaders – effective leaders do that. Effective team members, you don't even have to be the leader to do
that. Right, just leadership behaviors.
But what about – doing that with yourself.
Tell me what you mean.
So oftentimes we set, I feel like, oftentimes we set this anchor expectation, right? And it's like, at that, from that point in time, that's what it was. And then as the world becomes what it is, and we see that that anchor expectation might have been too aggressive, might have been too lofty, the sinking feeling starts to sink in, right? We're not going to hit that. That expectation is not going to be realized, right? Some people, I believe, are good at ratcheting down their expectations and saying, well, but this still might happen, and I'm happy with that. Some people aren't. Some people have their heart set on that anchor expectation, and now that they are coming to terms with the fact that that's not going to come to reality, now they're experiencing disappointment.
Yeah. Well, if we can – that's the whole thing. Disappointment is oftentimes the most frequent outcome of broken expectations. And if we can master disappointment, you know, you're invincible. But that's really hard.
So is that a tactic then? Because what you were talking about in the team's thing, right, mm-hmm. is constantly resetting and reframing expectations.
That's different though. What you were talking about is individuals. You can do things individually, and it's probably – shoot, it might even be harder because you're dealing with yourself. And most people don't take what's in their head and write it out or whiteboard it. And so when we're in our head, when we're thinking, we have a high tolerance for ambiguity and the details are fuzzy, but we think they're clear and we trick ourselves into things. When you're working in a team setting, if your organization is decent, there's real clear structures. It ain't like you set the quarterly goal and it's just like, oh, it's not going to happen. We'll ratchet it down. It's just like, no, get asses moving. What's going on? Like, it's much more formal there.
It is.
So yeah. Good organizations who care about performance and achieving goals and growing, they're not going to do much ratcheting down. They're going to figure out what's going wrong. They're going to look at it systemically. Did we set a poor goal? If so, why? Our goal setting process was off. Are we not achieving it? What's going on in the environment? Is it the wrong talent? Is it something else?
So even though they do that though, right, those are just methods of resetting and reframing.
Like right, but they don't view it as that.
No, but so they'll do that exercise. Did we set the goals wrong? Mm-hmm. What was it in the environment that we didn't account for? And they'll come up with all these reasons why their goal setting was wrong, why that anchor was wrong. And then they'll reset the anchor. You know what I mean? And then it'll be like, all right, so now we'll be happy if we hit this. And from that moment, they're giving themselves a fresh chance. You get what I'm saying? People can do that individually.
Right.
Right? But I don't know that.
Well, I guess my point was expectations is all emotions. So what the business is doing, let's focus on the logic, the plan, the process, etc. You mentioned the H word, though, in the organizational setting. Then they'll be happy. Well, are they?
Well, that's a whole
right?
other thing.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. But individually, you know it's all emotions, and that's really hard to grapple with. So we can trick ourselves in an organizational setting. The emotions are the things probably driving us, but we're like, well, no, this is formal. This is objectivity. We're going through process management and all of these very business professional development things when it's really just about trying to manage our damn emotions.
Right. So I think there's two things in question here that we're talking about. One is if your expectations aren't met, reframing them to still try to salvage positive emotion. Okay. So I think that's what I have been talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you took it to the step further, which is we have a natural tendency to pin our hopes for happiness on fulfilled expectations.
Ooh, that's a nice phrase. Hopes for happiness on fulfilled expectations. Jot that down.
So if we achieve, if the expectations are met, are we happy? That's a whole other question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think up until this point, I've been talking about that negotiation in the team setting. It's reframing. It's whatever. Individually, you can do that tactic with yourself to say, my expectations, my anchor expectation is not going to be fulfilled. I'm experiencing some negative emotion from that. But rather than experiencing the full negative emotion of 100% failure, I can reframe my expectations now and try to salvage some positive emotion from this.
To me, that's all still time in the sense of if from the get-go, individually, not organizationally, you can create a process for yourself to check in on the health of your expectations. Are they moving towards the goal that I set or the ideal outcome that I had envisioned at the beginning? Most people don't do that. Like, I'm a weirdo and I will. So, perfect. my basement. What's the expectation? Well, we had a vision for our basement. We had it drawn out. Everything for me, though, was about the time management of the project. So when I hired my GC, I said, give me the timeline. Well, no GC wants to do that. I said, we're not going to work. You got to give me a timeline. Okay. I said, the only thing that's important to me is time. I know you're going to do a good job with your material, blah, blah, blah. And so then as we'd go, instead of just waiting for the lagging goal of not hitting it and then me having to deal with those emotions, every week, how's it going? Are we still on time? You going to hit it? But that's the action. You said people don't want to take action. So you can either build expectation checking along the path to the goal, or you wait, and those are leading indicators you're trying to take care of, or you wait till the lagging indicator, and then there's nothing you can do other than feel disappointment and anger.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's what I'm talking about, which is your individual process of resetting expectations.
Yeah, and so I guess what I'm saying is most people don't do that plan up front, or if they do, they don't execute it because they don't want to have the tough conversation of, hey, you told me you'd be here. You're not. What's going on?
Right. Right. I think that the people experience the disappointment and then they don't necessarily understand why. They haven't like broken it out into a system like what you're talking about. You know yourself very well, and you are very conscientious about what your expectations would be, what would make you get, what would give you positive emotion, what would give you negative emotion. You knew prior to the commencement of your basement remodeling project, time was going to be one of the biggest things. And then you communicated that to, see, here's the thing. You didn't have control over that.
Right.
Right.
I wanted to hear his timeline.
Kip, your contractor.
Yeah.
He was the one
right.
who
set
had control
the timeline.
Over it. The best you could do was communicate your expectation.
And my expectation was once we commit to a timeline, if there's any change, I want to hear about it instantly. And then we're cool. But if you get to our little check-ins at the end of the week and then it's just bullshit or ambiguous, I ain't going to let that happen. I'm going to bring it up. And so we just had a nice what's called a cadence. Basically, it was an owner-contractor meeting, which you get in the commercial construction world. We just did that informally through text every week, and it was awesome because I knew up there a couple days behind, are we still going to hit our main deadline? Yeah, we will. But people don't either want to put in the time to think about how they can manage those expectations, or they don't execute on it when they do because it's accountability conversations. It's tough. It's difficult.
It goes back to conflict. Yeah.
Of course it does.
Yeah. And, you know, that's separate,
but you,
separate episode.
You're the one that talked about it being a process earlier. You just didn't use that word. And that's really important.
I think I did use
it. Well, maybe you did then.
Well, maybe.
Much earlier. It's just so important. Like, our day today. What do I have? We're getting the basement set up. We got mostly family stuff. You know, Dave got a new puppy. So we probably have some expectations, but as our day goes, my expectations might shift, might change, something might pop up. Like, you should constantly be resetting those and be open. Like, having a fixed mindset outside of, you know, growing a business or trying to do one thing, like Arnold, when he was training to win all those Ironman competitions, or not Ironman, what is it, Mr. Olympia or whatnot, Mr. Universe?
Mr. Universe, yeah.
His dad died, and they called, and they're like, yeah, your dad died. He's just like, yeah. Yeah, that sucks. They're like, well, when are you flying home? The funeral's on Saturday. He's like, yeah, I'm training for this. I'm not coming home for that. He's like, my car got stolen. Don't care. Not dealing with it. I'm training. Like, that is expectation. That is, here's my goal. And that's why he was super successful. And that's also why I'm sure he dealt with a lot of internal difficult emotions and lost relationships. But that's that fixed mindset. Most people can't do that, you know?
Yeah, I definitely can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's interesting. So that's always resetting your expectations to try to check your positive and negative emotions, right? So always keeping tabs on your expectations and always having your expectations be fluid versus what you said with the fixed mindset, right? I think that's another interesting part to talk about, which is, all right, let's say that you even if you checked in, let's say you didn't have a fixed mindset and you checked in on your expectations, but and they were always on target and they were going to be met, and then boom, they were met. Now, are you happy?
Right. That ties into it's all emotions is what underlays expectations, which is how I believe at a deep level, it's how we're using our time. And when our expectations aren't met, subconsciously, I think we're misusing our time. We're misspending our greatest resource we have on this planet. And that we don't want to think about that. I just lost another 60 minutes on this earth doing some dumb shit. Great. I think that's what's going on at a deep level for all of us.
Like opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
again, subconsciously, not consciously.
So I there was in some of my research, it talked about whether you have your expectations for positive emotions are like, it's not always bad to have expectations.
High expectations.
As long as they're justified. And what is a justified expectation? And it basically said justified expectations should be based on prior experiences. And so it's like, if you think about it, like I have a little bit of happiness when I have a morning cup of coffee. I know that and I expect it because that's been my experience in the mm-hmm. past. And like, what would have changed between yesterday and my cup of coffee that gave me a little bit of happiness and today, you know?
But the expectations evolve over time. I remember who introduced me to coffee was Meredith Varaki. And I remember chatting with her, and she was so cool and smart in college, and she helped get me into reading way back then, the nonfiction books. And I remember having that first cup of coffee and feeling that caffeine hit and really not liking the taste, of course, but acting like I did, you know, to be cool. But boy, there was that expectation. The next cup of coffee, I had to be like, wow, this is going to be a big deal. Over time, that has evolved, but I still get some amount of happiness from it. And I think that that's a good thing. So the evolution of our expectations, I think, is also kind of interesting to think about.
I do too.
Or like how you said, a lot of times you might have to have experience with it. Well, our friends just had a baby, their first baby. They had no experience, but they have to go into expecting our kid's going to be happy, our kid's going to be healthy. Like, you have to think optimistically there. Yeah. You can't be like, well, okay, well, here's the percent that they get the croup cough in the second. You can't do that. And if so, you're fucking super anxious, and then the kid gets anxious.
Yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax. We can go break that down. But I guess where I think I wanted to contrast it against, meaning basing my expectation on something that I had previously experienced and therefore it being a good expectation versus something I've never experienced. Like, I don't know what to expect. And so I just manifest some expectations. Like, now that is an unjustified expectation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So that one of my notes is I have an up arrow, down arrow, an equal sign, and the word neutral. We can usually have positive high expectations, positive associated with an experience. Negative, I've been there, it's going to be shitty, but I'll go, whatever. Can we have a truly neutral expectation of something? A truly, we'll say, you know, go with the flow here. You hear people say that a lot. How was it? You know, I went in with no expectations, and usually the next thing they say is, it was nice. It was a good time. That's how I tried to treat our RV trip we went on for 3 weeks. I knew we had it all set everywhere we were going, all the places we were staying. We were going to find little mini adventures, but we knew there was going to be obstacles. Shit was going to pop up. We might have to change things up. And my whole thing for me dealing with it personally was, every obstacle is part of our story. Like, don't have high expectations. Or I almost went to more to low expectations, but that was an emotional trick for me. But can you have truly neutral expectations? Can humans do that? Like, I think Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger seem to, or like professional investors, the whole thing they manage are their emotions. They're like a true stoic, right in the middle all the time. Made money on this? Great. Didn't make money on this? Thought I was going to? Okay. I'm just not that way. I'm a little too passionate and a little more jagged.
You are. You can. That's something that I think that, well, my mom would claim that she can do that. And I tend to believe her in many circumstances. If you ask her, she's just going by with the flow. She's just day by day in it, you know? And okay. All right. She says those words all the time.
Day by day in it.
I think that I am better able to do that. I am better able to enter ambiguous situations with an open mind and not a lot of background or knowledge about what's going to occur and just kind of see what happens. Where you will pause things and be like, wait a minute. I need to know a little bit about what's going to happen here. And you will seek out that information ahead of time. You will make it a point to set your expectations.
And I do it on purpose to try to set it low for myself so that it's not too good. So that when I get there, I feel that it's better. So the Grand Canyon, I specifically didn't do a ton of research because I had read people that spend too much time looking into the Grand Canyon online, when they get there, they feel a real letdown. So I used that piece of information to try to not look up anything about it so that when I was there, I could appreciate the awe. Now, I don't know if that actually helped or not, but I was inspired by it. It was unreal.
Yeah.
But like that kind of thing I do do.
Yeah. And so I think obviously that you had no experience that was the Grand Canyon.
Correct.
Like going back to the coffee
thing, yeah.
Right? So you couldn't base the your expectations on a prior experience right. of the Grand Canyon.
Right.
And in those instances, we always like fall back on what we've heard.
Which is what I did. I read that and I'm like, ooh, good idea. I won't look it all up.
Which I think is a dangerous thing because what you hear and what you read then influence where you're going to set that bar, mm-hmm. right? So one of my things, talking about going into a situation with no expectations and one that's seemingly harmless and therefore you're able to do it, right? So like we talked about how you will have to seek out information for some situations so that you can try to set your bar lower. You just want some sort of frame of reference so that you can try to set your expectations.
And I'm not saying others should do that. I know, that's how I need to do it for my weirdo self.
But I mean, there are some small things where even you don't do that. So like,
sure.
Let's say spur of the moment, you're out with family at a dinner and like, let's pop into the movies. And you go to a movie and you don't even know what the movie's about, right? You sit down and you watch it. No expectations for this movie, right?
Yeah.
I find that more times than not, those movies don't disappoint me. Whereas a movie that has I saw the trailer. They did an amazing job of pointing out how great the movie was going to be. My friends told me how good this movie was. And then I watch it. I've got these high expectations. Yeah. And then it disappoints.
I think you have I just shared a bit about my vacation. I think you have a very nice opportunity here if you choose how your expectation evolution for your not vacation, but your trip. I think that's very enlightening and you should share that because it's not bad, but it's accurate how your emotions change and how you dealt with that pre, during, and after.
It's funny because going back to what you talked about with the food thing, where I'm like, this might be the best burger I've ever had.
Yeah, I love hearing that. That's a Dave-ism.
I mean, that's a double-edged sword. For some reason, I get positive emotion from people who agree with me.
Well, of course. That's human.
And I think that I can sort of paint a picture in some people's minds.
That'll make them agree.
Well, and then they're just like, you know what? It is. So I think here's what I think. I think oftentimes notice when I'm doing that, it's usually with small experiences. Because I think that we take the small things for granted. So if I'm ever doing that, I'm trying to pump up
enhance the moment for people.
Small things.
Yeah.
Even for myself.
Well, I don't mean it's a negative. I mean it's a total positive. I love it.
Because if we can leave a place together, and I even have one more person on my side who'd be like, that was the best hamburger I've ever had, right? Then that's a story I can bring with me and tell and be like, nope, I remember we went to that place. That was the best hamburger we've ever had, you know, and like tell people about it.
And it's more real like we talked about
before.
And
it's like a great experience out of nothing, out of eating just a meal that you were going to eat anyway.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
So you're a liar about your food.
Absolutely. 100%. But I'll tell you what does that have to say about expectations? Lying to yourself.
Well, yeah. Well, we could then get into all kinds of experiments of blind taste tests of wine and all that stuff and how it's described actually influences it. We, of course, lie to our brain, lies to ourselves because we want to be happy in the moment.
I think we've been dancing around this thing, though, about having low expectations and that being a tactic for not being disappointed. But can you really do that?
What do you mean?
So going into let's use a trivial example. But this is with bigger – okay, let's not do a trivial example because I was going to do a trivial example like a movie, right? Like you've seen a trailer. People have pumped it up. So your expectations are high, but you know you have a high probability for disappointment if you have high expectations. Now can you trick yourself into lowering your expectations? Okay, so that's what's a small thing. Now let's make it with a big thing, right? Women have crazy expectations for their wedding day. It's insane.
In general.
In general. I'm making a general statement here. But in Western society, the the way that it's hyped up, the movies that are made about
the market around weddings,
the marketing around weddings, the stories that they're told as little girls about their wedding day and how you hear them say it. It has to be, it's the perfect day. It has to be the perfect day. Think about that. The word perfect is being used here, right? Rife with disappointment. Rife with disappointment. If anything, you can pick the smallest tiny thing and it's off now, and now you're unhappy. You know what I mean? So you get what I'm saying. Can you trick yourself? Can you overcome expectations that were set even if you didn't want them to be set? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you can. It's clearly not easy. That's not how we're hardwired. You know, I know I couldn't in the moment do that. That's very difficult to do. Like once, but I'm an emotional, insane person. So like once my emotions start spiraling up positively, man, I pull people into that whirlwind and it's fun. But when it starts spiraling down, I also pull people into it. And those people nowadays are typically just my wife and children. And we had one where we went to this place here in St. Louis off of Lindbergh. I don't even remember the name of it, but it's one of these places. They have a huge buffet inside and tons of different food, and they have all these games and just did like laser tag, all this shit. And it got told to me like, oh, it's an awesome place. So I went into it with decently high expectations and knowing, being like, man, you're not gonna live up to this probably. The second I walked through the threshold of the door that night was just terrible. And I was just a whiny little bitch, and it was awful. I'm limping around because I had the surgery, and I didn't even spend time with the family. I'm just scowling. All the family's like, who is this guy? We go to leave, like throwing the crutches in the car. Like, of course, just like, things occurred. Pizza falls on the floor. Like, every little negative thing, because that's the other thing. As soon as expectations are going good, like your sandwich, oh, it's the best one, then you notice all the positive things. You're drawn to those. When expectations are going bad, then our selective perception only fixates on the negative as well. And because our brains, it tricks us that way. It's a cognitive bias. So we get all the way home. I'm just being a terrible family member. Get home. Something off my crutch had broke off, and I was borrowing these crutches. So I had to drive all the way back to this place and look for it in the parking lot. So that's a perfect example like the universe or God just being like, here you go, buddy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And so, again, that type of thing to me is just set that bar. If I would have set it so low, went in thinking this place is going to suck, the food's going to be terrible, I'm not going to like the people, the games are going to be expensive, I know myself, and I would have at least tolerated it and been decent. But I was just bad.
You said words there that are amazing, and you have to talk about them with expectations, which is selective perception.
Mm-hmm.
The way I always say it is our eyes are oftentimes as much projectors as they are receivers. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how you, whatever, like you said, there's momentum, right? Like your day starts off good, it's a sunny day. You know, you start noticing all the positive things. You're just feeling good, singing a song. You're in a good mood. Like, all of a sudden, good stuff's happening. You're noticing the good stuff. The same neighborhood and the same streets that you drive every day look a little bit brighter. They look a little bit more put together. They look a little – you get what I'm saying? The roses are just a little – you know, they're in bloom. And versus, you know, the opposite. You wake up. Bad mood, got a headache going on, it's cloudy, it's dreary, you go out, it's the exact same neighborhood as it was the day before, and you just notice all that road is crumbling, somebody needs to do something about that, and I've got patches in my grass that need to be, you notice all these, everything that's, it would, those exact same things were there the day before, but you didn't see them, you didn't experience them.
Right.
What is that? What is that? How does that have to do with expectations?
It's cognitive bias. It's just the brain. It's a shortcut for thinking. We've chosen to adopt a negative attitude in the moment. And for whatever reason, our brain just is like, okay, you're choosing to be negative. Well, here's all the negative shit that you can comment on around you.
There was one when I was doing my research that was talking about if you ever order a steak in a restaurant and you're like, order it medium rare, and it's served to you overcooked. It's served to you well done. And the disappointment that comes with that, right? Because you had an expectation.
Yeah, well, I got to eat. Now I'm going to have to eat. Now I'm going to have to ask everyone to wait, or they're going to eat, and then I'm going to be eating after them. Yeah.
Versus, I can imagine a situation where I go to a fancy steakhouse, right? Now, this has never happened, but I can imagine this, where the waiter comes out and he goes, guys, what's the best way to order steak? We all know. It's medium rare, right? And he's like, we've got this special cut of beef. And he's like, and it comes from Japan. The cows are fed a certain way. And it just so happens, this is best served well done, right? He's like, so you can order it the way that you want, but I recommend you get this steak well done, right? Okay, fine. You know, hey, like, let's do it. Let's have this well done steak. This is the best way that it is. I wonder if you couldn't get the same piece of meat and one way you just well, – he course, never said that's, that. That's you the, order it medium rare
yeah.
and it comes out well done and you taste it. It's the same. It tastes the exact same and you're disappointed.
But that's different than the scenario. First of all, yes, obviously that'll happen. That's how they sell expensive wines in stores. They just make it all up on the spot. They prime you to think what you're going to – the expectation you're going to have. But the story you started it with was you order it. Medium rare, they bring it to you full cooked. That's different than somebody up front being like, hey, here's what I recommend, blah blah blah. Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
I know. Well, I guess what I'm doing is I'm boiling it all down to the experience. You're eating the same piece of well done steak.
What we're being sold on is the story, and yeah. the story is the experience, and we right. so expectations build up an experience,
right? So actions leading up to that experience. The way that you ordered it, for example, obviously play a huge role.
Order envy. How would you order at a table? I know what I look at it and I make my order right away because I like to be decisive and have certainty. And I rarely, don't want to say never, rarely get order envy. I'm always like, yeah, I ordered the best. Like, this is, I have the best. It's so good. And usually people are like, damn, that's good. I should have got that. That's like a compliment for me. That's Dave's. Oh, this is the best burger. Mine is if multiple people at the table are like, oh, look what he got. I should have got that.
Yeah, there's something.
And I love that.
I like that.
Yeah. And that's that weird psychology stuff. The expectations, though, that I think most people our age that have kids bump into or at work or if you own a business, here's a perfect day. I have a great day at work. I make a little bit of money. Maybe I get some free time, go lift weights, took the dog on a walk, you know. Having a great day, sunshine and not too hot. And I'm like, man, I just want to enhance this even more with my kids. Like, they're going to get home and I'll play blind tickle monster with them and then I'll do this and that. And then I'm going to take them to their events. And I'm ready, man. They pull up. I'm walking out to greet them. Fuck you. Just fucking terrible. And instantly, so every time I do that, every time, not once has it been broken. Whereas if I'm just like, yeah, whatever, like they get home, it's just great. Same with business. As soon as I expect a contract, we're signing it in 1 hour. Excellent. Count those chickens. They're hatched. Perfect. 10 grand, whatever it is. Doesn't get signed. This person's never going to come through. No bar, low expectations. Comes through tenfold. So, by saying all this, I haven't mastered the emotions that come with that, but I've at least tried to temper the expectation levels I set and be able to ignore some of those emotions and be like, even though my brain's telling me this thing's gonna hit, it's a lock, or this contract's not gonna come through, the kids are gonna be in a great mood. It's just like, well, are they? I don't know. And to me, that takes away a bit who I am. I'm a passionate peaks and valleys person, and that's stoicism. That's being much more temperate and moderate with things, and in my opinion, a little more boring, but it's probably healthier.
No, I think that it totally makes sense. It kind of leads up to one of the things that I wanted to talk about, which was if we have expectations and they are based on our prior experiences, like the coffee example. What I think you're trying to do is you're trying to dissociate your expectations from you were pointing out basically the contradiction between whatever you expect, it tends to go the opposite way, right? With your kids, with business, whatever. What I'm trying to go for here is if you associate your expectations to prior experiences, like the coffee thing, as you go along, you can ratchet up your experiences, right? So like the first coffee I ever had, I don't know what it was, you know, it was probably some cheap coffee or whatever. And then I decided I like coffee, so I want to have some better coffee, right? And eventually I work my way up to the point where I'm drinking gourmet coffee, right? And it's like, okay, now my expectations are that I get gourmet coffee. And if I go somewhere, you know, when I first discovered coffee and I was just drinking cheap coffee, and if I went to a restaurant and they served me a cup of coffee, I'd go, oh, this is pretty good coffee. Now my expectation, my bar is gourmet coffee.
Well, you have to refine your palate.
Exactly. And I sit down and this the same restaurant brings me this thing and I'm just like, I got to drink
this. Whereas
I
can appreciate, and that doesn't bother me.
Right. Well, and I also talk about this. I think that that's a micro example or a macro example that I talk about is wealthy people and how their bar is that across everything.
Yeah, Ryan Holiday, stillness is the key. Luxury taints everything people experience. That then becomes their benchmark for everything. So then they're constantly let down, which hurts social relationships as well and makes them be assholes.
So we have these which is funny. We have these expectations for happiness. And the thing that we're sold is that if you can achieve and have money and have these luxury things, you will be happier, right? I think maybe it's true the first time you experience a luxury thing.
Well, yeah, it's fleeting.
Yeah.
It's the marginal utility of money. Like, you get a lot more utility out of it for a while, but then eventually it's just like, oh, we're going to another beach vacation.
Right. This is only a 4-star hotel?
Right, exactly.
Are you serious? I can't stay at a 4-star hotel.
And so I just never want to get to that role. And that's why I like to have the low expectations going into something, because I know I will personally – I'm not saying everyone should use this little tactic, but I personally derive more joy out of it because I know I'm like Steve Jobs. I have very high in one manner. I have very high expectations for myself and for those closest to me, and I think that's a good thing. We should strive to achieve and grow and continue improving and not accept mediocrity. I hate mediocrity. But he, when he'd be out at his Starbucks, he would tell people at Starbucks how they're making the drinks incorrectly, and that's just an asshole. And I don't want to be that person. So I'll go in and just be like, yeah, it could get messed up. Oh, well, they got the order wrong. Who cares? No big deal. So I set my bar low because I don't want to be the asshole tendency that comes out with that, because it is, I have high expectations and I'm not going to change that for my work or all the personal stuff I do, but I also don't want to force it on the world. And I think you just need to be more self-aware, like, am I happy or sad most of the time, and how is that from my own doing, from where I set my expectations bar?
Just being aware of that is critical.
Superpower.
So many people don't understand why they're constantly disappointed or they're constantly unhappy. You know what I mean? So along these lines, one of my favorite being introspective and seeing it from the outside, like you said, is a superpower, right? Understanding why you're disappointed and then preemptively trying to take some tactics to prevent that, right? One of the better comedians of today, regardless of what you think about his personal decisions or not.
Some poor sexual decision making.
Louis C.K., he had a bit about how everything's amazing and nobody's happy, yep. Right? And so he talked about this example where he was on an airplane, right? And it was the first airplane ride he had ever taken where they had streaming internet on the plane, right? So he describes it as what it is. It's like a magical technology where you're getting magic internet beamed to you from space, right? And he's like, they announced it to the people on the plane. Hey, this is one of our, you know, pioneer flights with using this new internet technology. Feel free to connect to the internet with your laptops and you can stream Netflix and watch shows. You can do any of this stuff, right? And he says they take off, right? They're in the air. And people start watching it. It's amazing. Everyone's wowed, you know. And it's an hour or two later into the flight. People have gotten into their movies, and the technology glitches. It breaks down, right? And the first thing that happens is a guy next to him goes, "This is bullshit." And he goes, "It's like the world owes him something that he didn't even know existed an hour ago."
That is great. That is that's expectations in a nutshell.
Yeah, yeah. It is, and it's like
expectations do not equate happiness. Like even getting them fulfilled,
it's fleeting. As a matter of fact, it's like it's it goes back to a gratefulness. You know what I mean? Like, that dude felt like the world owed him magic internet beamed to his tablet because he had experienced it for the first time an hour ago and now no longer had it. You know what
I mean? It goes back to just stoicism. It goes back to having too high of expectations for all things in life, for the small things, for the things that aren't meaningful, that won't be on your deathbed running through your head, for the things that aren't in your swim lane or are part of your circle of concern rather than your circle of control. Like Steve Jobs telling people, and this is very well known, he'd go to restaurants and places and tell people you're doing it wrong and like go behind the counter to like show them how to do it. That's just ridiculous. That's unreal. To me, that's a recipe for failure, and the failure is in happiness. And so if you want to not fail, if you want more than 50% happiness in life, you need to think about how you set and adjust your expectations on a daily basis and begin to increase your awareness of yourself and your own triggers and what sets you off on the negative internal feelings or the positive internal feelings, because they're both contagious.
Absolutely. 100%. I agree with everything there. You know, here's something that I have tried to do, and I think it relates to what we're talking about now with the getting used to something and then expecting it, like the damn internet being beamed to the plane, right? Guy experiences it, and now he expects it in the future, which is what I use the word grateful, and I think part of being grateful is knowing that everything in life is fleeting.
Even our internet service.
Even your home.
Well, it's a good point, because we're all working from home. I'm in the middle of a Zoom. My general contractor actually unplugs it and it goes out. I'm leading a fucking training with five people. Like, it's a big deal. I didn't freak out on them, but I should have just been like, almost laughed and just like, yeah, you know, whatever. But we just grow to expect these things. Interesting.
So you get a new car. Does it ever cross your mind? It's a brand new car. It's beautiful. The paint is shining, right? Do you ever think about the first dent that it's going to get? Or do you ever think about the day that it finally breaks down?
No. Mm-hmm.
No, the rust that'll accumulate on it.
Yeah, that never enters your mind. That first day of ownership of that car is just about glorification of what that car and what it is
and what it symbolizes. I've achieved, I did it.
Yeah.
Or your first house or your first apartment when you're in your 20s. It's probably in a shit bag neighborhood and there's roaches and whatever. Right. Like, you're so proud.
I try to remember that no matter what that car is, it is going to rust. It is going to break down.
Ashes to ashes.
It will get dented. I will be disappointed by it in the future. Right. And in that, It can help me be more grateful of the present. So we're talking about time again. It's funny how this is going back to what we started with the beginning. And I think that all ties back to, if you can do that with a thing like a car, right? Like you just mentioned, we just got a puppy. No doubt, or hopefully we will outlive this puppy, right? And I can remember the day that I got my childhood dog and she was a puppy just like this. And I replayed in my head, you know, her life, you know, and when she got old and when she her health started failing her, right? And I just wanted to keep that in mind and say that will happen, right? So like thinking about things as they are today, being grateful about them and having expectations that include both the good, all the good times that I will have with this puppy, all the good times you would have with that new car, but also the bad, right? Like, and thinking those ahead of time. I think it's all tied to a stoic principle that Ryan Holiday has put out recently in his emails, memento mori, right? Remember, we all have to die. People don't think about those. People don't want to think about those things. People want to pretend that those things don't happen and we are not going to die, right?
Well, yeah, we celebrate youth and, you know, in this culture that we associate with that, with vigor and energy and positivity, and growing old with decay and decrepitness in this country.
And so I think if you're truly going to set realistic expectations about life, and if you're going to say, well, I do this trick so that I'm constantly not being disappointed – there's also something about being grateful for what you have today with the understanding, with the expectation that you will not have it forever.
It goes back to Vince Vaughn's line from Dodgeball. Yeah, I don't set goals because I feel that if I don't set them, I'm not achieving them. And let me tell you, it feels great.
I don't know if that's what I was going for.
No, I know you were, but yeah, it's tangentially related.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. But so anyway, I think expectations are a thing that, like you said, there's the green and there's the red. Green arrow up, red arrow down. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to set their expectations. When we say, you know, perfectly neutral, am I setting perfectly neutral expectations?
No, I don't think there's homeostasis. There's no balance. But what you get, I'm envisioning kind of like a graph for a stock. So there's lots of little peaks and valleys constantly going. And if you look at the day chart, man, it'll look like really volatile. But if you spread out over a week or a month, then that volatility decreases for the, am I setting my expectations too high or too low? So again, that all comes back to what? Time. What's the time horizon for I'm looking at how I set my expectations?
That's true.
I think you've got a good story you can share that makes it very concrete, the pros and the cons of expectation management.
So this one was I had this on a list of a couple things to talk about. We talked about the ordering the steak in the restaurant. We talked about a movie, you know, going into a movie with expectations. This one I think is a huge one, which is your expectations for a trip or a vacation, right?
Big. Yeah, lots of people do that.
And so I think it's because part of the fun of a trip or vacation is the anticipation.
Yeah. Alcoholics would say what's more enjoyable about drinking towards the end is the anticipation of the first drink.
I've heard that people are happier on Fridays where they have to work, generally speaking, when measuring happiness, than they are during the weekend when they are off, because it is an anticipation of the weekend.
Because the fun they're going to have is theoretical. It's perfect. The fun they're envisioning is perfect fun at that point.
And so the same applies to the weekend. The same applies to like a vacation. So we had a vacation coming up that we were going to spend a month at a rented house out of state. We went to Virginia. And we were doing so because we wanted to spend the time with my brother and his family. And I think that's a key point of this, right? That was the whole point of it, spending time with my brother and his family. When we first started talking about it, they live in Virginia. They do not live near the shore, but they used to live in Virginia Beach, and the idea was floated. Let's get a beach house and do that. So we floated that idea. We researched that. When we were up at bed at night on our laptops, we were looking at beach houses, and my head was filled with visions of the ocean and smelling the ocean breeze and, you know, jogging down the boardwalk. All the things that you do in a beach vacation. And then logistically with work and other things, they said, we just don't think that that's going to work for us. You know, what if we did something, you know, like there's a mountain resort or something. Like, what if we just do that, you know? And instantly
your utopia vanished.
Yes. My expectations, no ocean breeze, no jogs.
David bought new flip flops and a Tommy Bahama shirt.
No jogs on the boardwalk. So I was disappointed. Right. And so then from then on, I had decided I was disappointed. And then my expectations for the trip were, you know what? I'll just have fun being with my brother and his family, you know, but the trip itself, whatever, you know, like we'll be at
a house. That's a good word. You were just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, we'll be at a house in Virginia. You know, I don't even know. I literally stopped researching. I didn't, if you were like, hey, tell me about the house you're going to stay at, you know, like the week before we left, I'd have been like, I don't know. Some house.
It's got rooms, bathrooms.
It's in Virginia.
Closet. We're going to put stuff in the closet.
And because of that, I had low expectations. And we went and I was just continuously, my expectations were exceeded the whole trip, you know. But before I went, Zach stopped me and he said, hey, he's like, every time you talk about this trip, he's like, there's like a negative tinge to it. It's like you're voicing your disappointment
before you go.
You haven't even been on the trip. And I was like, well, yeah, man, like I thought we were going to the beach. It's not, we're not going to the beach. And I was like, so yeah, I'm disappointed. And he was like, well, he's like, at least do me a favor. He's like, keep your mind open and try to have fun on this trip. He's like, think about it. You're spending a month with your family. Like, and I was just like, you know what? You're right. You're right. So I went in with an open mind, and yeah, I was just blown away. The house we stayed at.
You
had an
amazing trip. You were texting me and voxing me, like sending me pictures and videos.
Like we saw a bear, like right in front of the house. We were in a mountain house that was, you know, on a resort, and we took amazing hikes and just had wonderful experiences and got to do all these amazing things, and I loved it. And it all came back to expectations. For me, I will try to remember that as
I hope so. That's a good.
It was a ride, man. It was a ride of expectations, and in somewhat of being disappointed by not being in the beach, it made it better.
Right. You know? I was going to say. So the flip side, maybe you could have built it up too much, and maybe we would have had a conversation, be like, "Hey, dude, like temper it down. You know, like don't build it up into something that it can't live up to." And that's what I try never to do.
In retrospect, had we gone to the beach, I probably would not have had a good time.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't quite how I imagined, but yeah,
it was gray and it rained a lot, so we didn't get to, you know.
I think that's such a powerful story.
Yeah.
Cuz that captures life. We get into this life and we think, here's the paths available to us and we're going down this path and here's the expectations for this socioeconomic class and what I learned in school and here's what I'm expected to do. And it's just like, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to have path dependency. Today, right now, you can change the paths that are open to you for life. It's not easy. It's extremely hard work and takes lots of courage, but you can go 180 on the expectations of life at any moment, but most people don't, because that comes with a lot of work.
It comes with a lot of work.
And owning up to the fact that maybe I made poor decisions to get me onto the current path.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Acknowledging my past decisions weren't good ones, maybe.
If you just extrapolate that story and you say, and apply it to life, which is what I think you were doing, it can be eye-opening to understand. Like, what did you think you were going to be when you were a kid?
A pro basketball player.
Right?
I mean,
So, we've obviously had to reset our expectations.
Yeah, I think those were reset for us by our 8th grade basketball coach, Tim Kime.
But, man, it's about living in the now. It's about having, you know.
And planning for the future, not just being a full consumer.
And not focusing on disappointment in the past.
Right.
How often do you dwell upon the fact that you're not an NBA player? Because there are people who do stuff like that.
Well, yeah, people approach regrets differently.
It's like the Uncle Rico thing.
Oh,
if Coach just would have put me in,
could have
won state.
Over those mountains.
I just know it. Living in the past.
It goes back to the AARP article that we haven't talked about in a while. Mm. But I believe it is – it's either number one or number five on the list, because it's either the momentum starter or the anchor. Live the life that is true to you rather than the one that others expect of you. So it's all about, which I had not thought about, that really is about expectations. Set your own expectations for your life. Design your life to achieve what you want to achieve, not what others tell you you should achieve based on who you are, what job you do.
I love it.
Yeah, nice. Anything else you want to hit on? So change challenges. For me, it goes back to an awareness of your daily expectation setting. So what I want you to do is make a list, a plus on one side and a minus on the other. Take 5 minutes and just think about events that you've gone to recently, things you've done or gone to recently where you've had some expectations. And all you got to do is stop and think for 5 minutes. You set expectations for everything. Make a column of the positive expectations you've set or the negative expectations you've set, and then circle which ones ended up being fulfilled for those different events. And then just see if there's any patterns that emerge there and, you know, think through that.
That is an excellent one. I would say if I had to give a change challenge, it would be to – and this is hard – but the next experience that you're going to have, whether it be a movie or it be a going out to dinner or something, try to do no research on it. Try to do Try to know as little about it as possible going into it. And be very aware of your expectations. Like, where are these expectations coming from, right? Could you not avoid but overhear someone saying that this restaurant was really great? Or did you see a review and that's where you're – be aware of where you're setting your expectations from as you go and try to let them go. Try to experience it fresh, new. Try to, as my mom would say, go with the flow, day by day it. And nice. And pay attention to how that experience goes and try to see – try to compare and contrast that to other times where you've had high expectations for something or low expectations for something. But I think there's something that can really be interesting about an experience with no expectations.
Nice. I love it. I don't think that's a hard one. I think it's of your typical change challenges. I think that's very concrete and specific. So very good. Well, it's been a fun journey. Hopefully your expectation for this conversation wasn't too high and we've met and fulfilled your what you were thinking that you'd get out of this. But expectation management, it's a journey. You can think about it strategically. What direction are you trying to head with how you think about and set your expectations? Lots of different tools and tactics you can choose from to actually set them. But as Dave and I both talked about, it's a process. It's ongoing. It's not a one-time thing you do and be like, oh, it's set, move forward. Because if you do it that way, that's the recipe for failure.
I will close by saying expecting life to always turn out the way you want it to is guaranteed to lead to disappointment because life will never turn out exactly as you expect it.
And if you can deal with disappointment, you're a super person, superhero. That's a superpower. Absolutely. Well, as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.